Hear the word of God, first as it is written in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 1 to verse 12. It is on page 735 of most of the Pew Bibles. You may wish to follow it to make sure I'm reading what it says. First reading is from Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verse 1. It's near the bottom of a page. Some beautiful words. Listen then, for this is the word of God. One day, as he, that is Jesus, saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now let's continue to read from God's word in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 1 to verse 16, and this is in page 896 of most of the Pew Bibles. And remember, it is Paul that is writing. Further, hear the word of God. Therefore I, that is Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who has descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Thanks be to God for these readings of his word. May he add his blessings to them, and to him be all honor, praise, and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time in their marriage, a husband, John, did something really stupid. His wife, Mary, was furious. He later apologized and they made up. However, from time to time, Mary would mention what he had done. "Honey," John finally said one day, "why do you keep bringing that up? I thought your policy was to forgive and to forget." "It is," said Mary. "I just don't want you to forget that I've forgiven and forgotten." Over the last few months, I have experienced a lot of false promises, inaccurate information, and definitely a lack of compassion towards the way I was feeling. I think most of you'll know what I'm talking about. If you read the last edition of the church magazine, that is, I was talking about the way I had been treated by the senior management team in North Lanarkshire Council. These people are the very same ones who openly boast of being a caring and a sharing council. "We are all in it together," they say. Well, that certainly proved to be very untrue. They did not care for me. Instead, they took a very hard stance, which made life extremely difficult for me. How did I feel? Well, I felt like quitting. I became quite down, very quiet. You can ask Kath. I'm sure she'll tell you, it's not often I'm quiet. No, I didn't want to go to work. It was easier to take time off rather than facing up to the situation that I found myself in. I spent many days and nights praying to God for help. I lay there one night, full of hurt, feeling betrayed by an organization that had given the last 32 years of my life trying to help. But suddenly God spoke to me. I felt a peace come over me, and I knew that I could no longer let these people get me down. God has promised us that he will look after us. He never claims that this will be an easy journey. In fact, the Bible tells us it will be a journey full of trials and hardships. I found myself so caught up in my own situation that I forgot the most important thing, simply to trust in God. To put him first, and doing that is what I had to do. The very next day, I returned to work determined to do what God had asked me. That was to forgive these people. Not to think how bad this situation was, but to be stronger. And just to be thankful that I have a job, that I have a roof over my head, and a wife and family and friends that love me. And also that I have a God who walks with me in my daily life. The other day, Friday to be exact, I received the news that I would be transferring back to my old area under a management team that I trust and with whom I have built up a good working relationship. In our reading this morning, taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Christ teaches us to be merciful, to be humble, for our hearts to be pure and to do right, and to work for peace. Do these and fully believe in Christ, and the kingdom of heaven will be there for us. In the next chapter, Jesus teaches us how to pray, delivering the Lord's Prayer, a prayer used in churches all around the world. This morning, I would like to talk about one of the key elements in that prayer, forgiveness. The message is there. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. One of the most important things we must learn to do as Christians is to forgive, just as God forgives us. We simply must. What is forgiveness? Various biblical authors use a number of different Hebrew and Greek words to convey the concept of forgiveness. One means to blot out, in the sense that God erases the record of the sins that we commit. Another common word means to lift and to carry away, speaking of the complete removal of our sins, as if a heavy load has been lifted from our shoulders. Another word means to release from debt, indicating the punishment for sin has been cancelled. And one Greek word means to show grace to one who has sinned greatly, speaking of the undeserved nature of forgiveness. It is truly a gift from God. The most important thing I can say is that forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. God never says, forgive them if you feel like it. If you have been deeply hurt, then you probably never feel like forgiving someone. Forgiveness is a choice, a decision we make in our hearts. It is a choice to release others from their sins against you, a gift of mercy that you give to someone who has hurt you. Then how will we know when we have truly forgiven? When we no longer think about it day and night, when we no longer talk about it all the time, when we no longer seek revenge, when we no longer live in bitterness and anger, when we can recall those who hurt us and wish them well. Forgiveness must come from the heart, prompted by the Holy Spirit. You should forgive because forgiveness is good for the soul. But you should forgive because God has commanded it. In our reading from Ephesians this morning, the Apostle Paul, teaches us to build up the church, the body of Christ. He instructs us that for the body to fit together, we must make allowances for each other's faults because of our love. We have to use our talents wisely, and to be humble and to be gentle and to speak the truth in love. We must grow every day to be more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. when we are tolerant with each other, when we forgive each other, when we work together and help each other, then this church will thrive. When all the various teams of this church work together, putting our differences aside, then we will start to grow and mature as a church family. Then, when we have done that, we will make a real difference in this community as we grow in Christ's love. God wanted so much to bring us into his family, so he sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his death on the cross brought us into his family. If God has done that for us, finding a way to include us in his love, can we not reach out to those who have sinned against us? This is at the very heart of the gospel. And again, we must. What God has freely done for us, we are called to do to others. I would like to share a short poem with you this morning. One day I'm in the Lord's presence. It's unimaginable joy. The next day I'm ripped from it, and the enemy won his ploy. But every morning his mercies are new, a new opportunity to see his light shining through. As I entrusted my life in his hands, I began to see his miracle working plan. Prayers I've prayed for so many years, amazingly answered as I fought back the tears. Though I'm not deserving of this grace you pour out, you still wash away my sins and remove all my doubts. There is no greater life than this life I'm living. There is no greater gift than this life I am living, to use it for your glory and to know that I'm forgiven. The heart of God is filled with love, and at its center stands a cross. Through that cross, we have been forgiven. Let us learn how to forgive. Let us pray. Lord, we know that we have sinned time and time again, so we ask you to forgive the wrong things we have done and forgive us for the things that we have neglected. We ask for your forgiveness when we hurt others and when we fail to love them as you love us. Amen.